Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, give praise unto God. Lovely story this in Luke 18. We know God will add his blessing to this reading from his. The last time we had considered Luke's gospel together, we'd been looking at some verses in Luke chapter 18 where we noted a very remarkable young man, an interesting young man known as the rich young ruler. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ had been speaking about children and the important place they have in life, and almost immediately he was approached by this young man who asked a very interesting question when he said, Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He had obviously given this matter some serious thought. It was burning in his soul. He had from an early age learned the law of God. He knew the scriptures. He had a good upbringing. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave him very clear directions regarding this all-important question, for he said to him, Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. His upbringing was not good enough, despite the fact that he knew the law of God. That in itself could not make him right with God. So Jesus told him to come and follow him. And that young man faced a very important decision. He had the facts. He knew what was needed. But it says that he went away sad at that saying, and he had great possessions, and he was absolutely grieved. He had the desire. That's clear from the question he asked. He had the directions, for Jesus explained it to him simply. And he made the wrong decision, and he went away from Christ greatly disappointed, still without eternal life. Remember, like this young man, we all need to consider this great matter of eternity, for we don't know how soon we might be in it. Wonder tonight, if the Lord Jesus Christ was passing this way and extended to you an invitation just as he did to this young ruler that we thought about last time, I wonder if he gave you an invitation to come to him tonight, and that this might well be the last opportunity you're ever granted. I wonder what your response would be. Because that's the very situation that this man in our reading tonight faced. We know him simply as blind Bartimaeus. In our reading tonight, he's referred to as a certain man. But when we look at the parallel passages in Matthew 20 and Mark 10, We know, in fact, that this man is called Bartimaeus. He, like the rich young ruler, is a very, very interesting character. I'll tell you why. And I'm going to mention three very simple things in the time that remains. The first thing is that you look at this man and you'll see the desperation that marked his life. Look at what it says of this poor man in verse 35. For immediately you almost feel within yourself a sense of pity as you somehow try to imagine in your mind what this man was facing, where he was, and the difficulties that marked his life. Look at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh, that is Jesus, unto Jericho, that a certain man, or blind man, sat by the wayside begging. There's just a few words in that particular verse. But the more you read them and the more you think about them, how it opens up to us a picture of a man who was in a desperate need. And you say to me, but how was this man in such a desperate state? Well, let me remind you of two very simple but very solemn things. The first is that Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see. His lack of sight was a real hindrance to him in the days in which he lived. There are people today, of course, that we meet who have lost their sight. Some have been born blind, some lost their sight as a result of an accident, or perhaps something in life had come at a later stage and it removed their sight from them. And you watch them as they courageously deal with their blindness in very different ways and often in very difficult circumstances. Those of us who have our sight tonight perhaps take it for granted and don't understand what it means to be blind. Thankfully, nowadays, there's much more available for people who are blind that they can be helped and encouraged with their disability. In Bartimaeus' day, things were so much different. This man really was on his own. He was fighting a very lonely, difficult battle. He's outside Jericho. The crowd has gathered to see Jesus, but he couldn't see him like the rest of the people did. And they were getting excited because this man had come and he was visiting their city. And yet this man couldn't get excited because he seemed so far remote from all that was happening around him. He couldn't look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ like the other people did. He was blind, totally dependent on others to take him, to use an Ulsterism, from pillar to post. You say this man was in an awful state, and so he was. But you know, as he was physically, some of you may well be spiritually blinded. That you can't see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory and in all his great beauty. And even as he reveals himself to you again tonight, as you sit under the authority of God's word, it might be that despite his love and his mercy and his willingness to meet you at the point of your need, that you just cannot see your need of him. Because you're blind to the truth of God's word. You're blind to your great spiritual need, and you're sitting here tonight, and whilst you're glad to be here, and others that you know are Christians, you don't see your need of salvation. And you're blind to the light that Jesus offers you through the gospel. You might say to me, but Pastor, why is that so? Well, the Bible tells us why it's so, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you're not saved tonight and you don't see your need, if you're not a Christian and you have no desire to come to Christ and you don't feel your need of him, well, it's very clear. You're blinded to the truth of God's word, and that's the way that Satan wants it. For he wouldn't want you to come to know Christ and his salvation. Bartimaeus was blind, but it says here that Bartimaeus was poor. He was begging. There's two things in the one man's condition. What a terrible situation he faced. He'd almost reached desperation point in his life. And of course he was like many in those days, for we read about them and throughout the gospel accounts, but this man was destitute. He looked a rather forlorn figure as the people were passing by, as Jesus was coming down the streets of Jericho. He's down and out, an outcast as far as society is concerned, desperately crying out to others for help. Not very long ago, I sat watching a current affairs program dealing with the poor people who live in that vast land of India. I know today when we listen to all that's happening in our news and we follow the economy of the world in which we live, my India is one of these growing economies. It's going to be a giant in the world of economics in days to come. It's one of those growing nations. But the cameraman went behind the scenes to look at the poor and the forgotten people of that land. Many of them Dalit people. Some of them living 4 to 5 families in one room. Many of them who didn't have a job. They were the bottom rung of society. They couldn't buy food. They were sitting with absolutely nothing but the clothes that they were wearing on their backs. They were, in every sense of the term, destitute. You might be saying tonight, well, those poor people, I wouldn't be like that if I could help it. Well, spiritually speaking, you are. Because the truth is, without Christ, not only are you blinded to the truth of God's word, but spiritually speaking, even though God has in Christ all things richly for you to enjoy, some of you are living like a pauper, living without Christ, living without hope, never entered into the blessings of what God has for you in His lovely Son, perhaps living for pleasure and position, going after things that have no lasting satisfaction or joy, living simply for the here and now with no thought of eternity. And you're missing out. You're missing out on so much that God wants you to have in Jesus Christ. Do you know what the hymn writer says of Him? Says He is not a disappointment. He is all in all to me. Blessed Savior, sanctifier, the unchanging Christ is He. He has won my heart's affections and He meets my every need. He is not a disappointment, for He satisfies indeed. If you're not a Christian, can I ask you something tonight? Think about it. Well, you may not agree with me, and perhaps you don't want to respond to this immediately, but can I ask you tonight, if you're not a Christian, answer this question, or two questions. Why do you want to live in spiritual darkness when Jesus Christ longs to shed light, the glorious light of the gospel of His grace, into your darkened soul? And why are you choosing to live in spiritual poverty when all the riches of Christ and His great salvation could be your portion this very night? The truth is, spiritually speaking, you might not understand it, but you're more like Bartimaeus than perhaps you think. The desperation that marked his life is the second thing. The determination that marked his life. Even though Bartimaeus couldn't see, he could certainly hear. He could sense something of the atmosphere in Jericho that day. Even though he didn't know at the start what was happening all around him, he could sense that there was something going on. He knew something important was happening, and he was determined to find out what. And then Luke tells us this. They, that's the people around him, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. What a story. They told him. Those around about him, as he caught something of the excitement and this sense of anticipation that Jesus Christ was in their midst, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. What a message for a man in a desperate state. This was the best news that this man was ever likely to hear. I challenge my own heart in the light of all that we heard, not just last Sunday, but right throughout our whole missionary conference. Have you told anybody this week that Jesus Christ is passing by? Honestly, before God, Pastor, did you tell anybody this week about the claims of Jesus Christ and all that they could have in Him? What about you? Was there one soul that you noticed in a desperate state, whether it's that home beside you where it's broken, whether it's that man at work who seems to have nothing to live for, or that family that you know who have been going through the mill and they're almost at desperation point, have you ever stopped and told them, Jesus is mighty to save? You see, if nobody had have opened their mouth to tell Bartimaeus, he'd have been guessing still as to what was happening around him. But they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. What a message for a man in a desperate state. Knowing that Christ was the only hope he had, he turns around and he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I wish I could paint this story for you. I can't, but I wish I could. For often I conjure up this in my own eyes to think of what Bartimaeus must have felt like. What must have been going through his mind. How that his heart might have been pumping. I mean, he's a blind man with no sight. He's a begging man with no money. Every day he's doing the same thing and there's no hope. And then he hears it. Jesus is passing by. This was an opportunity he couldn't afford to miss. There was something special about that name, Jesus. After all, he's the one who came to save sinners. There was something special about this man and all that he had been doing because he was unique in his ministry and message. And even when the people tried to deter him and they tried to distract him and they told him not to bother with Jesus. I mean, after all, Bartimaeus, you're a blind beggar. Sit there. Don't bother him. And he cried out all the more. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He sought the mercy of God. Does that not remind you of somebody else we thought about quite recently? Another man in a desperate state who one day walked into the temple and there he stood with his head bowed as he listened to a man, a Pharisee, a religious man, telling God how wonderful he was. And then when the Pharisee, thank God he wasn't like this man, he walked from the temple full of self-satisfaction when this other poor man bowed his head and beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner. They both needed mercy and they both sought it and they both received it. Bartimaeus didn't ask for money. Money would have alleviated the situation, but only for a period of time, because no matter how much money you have, it'll one day run out. Bartimaeus didn't ask for sight, although sight would have helped him and left him with a better opportunity to make something of his life. No, he asked for mercy, because it was mercy that he needed, and Christ was his only for I don't know perhaps who you are or where you stand spiritually tonight, but I want to tell you this, two things. That first of all, Christ is your only hope. If you're going to have salvation, you're going to have to throw yourself on the mercy of God. My, we're separated from Him because of our sin. We've rebelled against Him. We've gone our own way. We've broken his law, discarded his word. Do you know something? We're worthy of nothing less than the very punishment of God. But God in his love and in mercy sent his Son to the cross at Calvary to deal with our sin in order that we might know forgiveness. As far as God is concerned, he has erected that cross at Calvary where our sins could be punished and where his justice could be met. He has poured out his wrath upon his own dear Son. For Christ has borne our sin in his own body on the tree. And someone in the prayer meeting tonight before the service prayed and he said that, thank God there is therefore now no further condemnation upon them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Why? Because when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was condemned in our place. That's why. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And though he knew no sin and did no sin, he went to the cross at Calvary and hanging on the cross, he dealt with our sins. All of them. Every last one of them. And in doing so, satisfied the demands of God upon the sinner. As far as God is concerned, he did this in sending his Son. And as far as Christ is concerned, he has shed his own precious blood to pay the price for our salvation. If you ever come seeking for God's salvation, you'll have to come through Christ. You'll have to throw yourself on the mercy of God. And you know something? God will show you mercy. He will not treat you as your sin deserves. He'll forgive you on account of Christ. He'll cleanse you from all your sin. He'll bless you on account of the Savior and give you a new life to begin with. What a joy. What a blessing. And I'd say to you as a matter of urgency, if you realize that you're a sinner, you need to be saved. This should be your cry just now. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified. Christ is still the only hope you have. And he has died for our sins at the cross, and on account of him, God tonight will show us mercy. Oh, Bartimaeus, the desperation that marked his life, he was blind and begging. The determination that marked his life, he cried out the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." But I want you to note the devotion that marked his life. You see, despite the uproar of the crowd, read through the story, you'll discover Bartimaeus couldn't stop shouting. He could not and he dare not until he had received mercy. Mark in his gospel account tells us that as he shouted, someone brought word to him. What a comforting word it was. He came and he said, "Be of good comfort, he calleth thee." Can you imagine that? He calleth thee. Here's Bartimaeus in a place where he had always been. In the state he had always been in, blind and begging, catching something of the day that he was there, anticipating something was happening. And all of a sudden, as he cried out for the mercy of God, someone comes and says to him, "Bartimaeus, he's calling for you." That was a very personal call, wasn't it? He calleth for you. The Lord Jesus Christ called for Bartimaeus to come to him, even though Calvary was in his mind, even though the crowds were thronging after him, even though he's in the midst of a people following out and listening to his every word, and the whole crowd who had gathered in Jericho that day, Bartimaeus was the one that Jesus singled out. He calls for you. You see, salvation's a very personal thing. Do you ever think that as you come in tonight and sat down in this meeting without a Savior, that you've sat under the sound of the gospel and God tonight in mercy is speaking directly to your heart and calling for you? He's inviting you to leave your sin and to come to Christ and to embrace this great salvation. Man or woman, young person, tonight he might be calling for you. You, just where you're sitting. Asking you to leave your sin and come in repentance and trust Christ, and salvation will be found in him. This was a very personal call. It was a very pressing call because Bartimaeus must come, and he must come now. Because Jesus is passing through Jericho for the very last time. Very soon, he'll pass through the city. He'll continue on the journey that will take him to the cross at Calvary, where he'll die for the sin of the world. And Jesus was passing that way that day. And for Bartimaeus, it would be the very last opportunity to come. And if he didn't come now, he wouldn't come at all. You see, this gospel that I try to bring to you simply, no matter how much you know about it, you need to respond to it. And you need to respond now. You need to treat the matter of your sin and your soul with the utmost urgency. I'll tell you why you could hesitate and wait too long. You could contemplate and die with a head full of truth and a heart that's still far from God. You could even procrastinate and trail your feet and wait for another time. Another time that might never come. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read of a man called Felix. For 2 years, 2 years, he sent back and forward for Paul to come and sit down and talk to him. And Paul reasoned with him about righteousness and judgment to come and all the things that pertain to the gospel. For 2 years, he heard it clearly. You know what he said? He said, "Go your way, Paul. When I have a more convenient time, I'll call for thee." By all accounts, he never did. Bartimaeus came that day. You read the story. His life was transformed. His sight was restored. He was delighted by the whole experience. And having responded to the call of Christ, he went away, followed him, and glorified God. It all happened that day. For Jesus was passing that way that day. Shortly after midnight, on the 7th of August in 1956, in a little place called Calais in Colombia, the people had gone and were in bed fast asleep when a military convoy made its way through the center of the town. It was the safest time to do it when people were not on the road. They were passing through the center of the town carrying tons of fuel, lorry loads of explosives and ammunition, making their way to an army depot where the ammunition would be kept. Something sparked a fire. The fire intensified until the whole convoy blew up. It destroyed 8 blocks of flats. It shattered houses up to 3 miles away. 1,200 people were killed that night. And thousands lay injured by what the government called a freak accident. The problem is, none of us know what lies around the corner. None of us. I'll say to you just now in closing, is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus, Jesus is passing this way. He's passing this way today. Man or woman, young person, He's calling for you. Like Bartimaeus, will you respond to His call? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the many opportunities that you give to us to hear the gospel message. And yet, our Father, we understand that sometime will be the last time we'll ever have the opportunity to trust the Savior. And if tonight, our Father, in your grace and mercy, you're speaking to a heart, and Jesus is passing by this way today, in your grace and mercy, will you lovingly open their blinded eyes, draw them from their sin, and bring them, we pray, to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and only that He will receive all the honor and the glory. We ask it for Christ's sake.